Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan. I am just so excited to have you here this afternoon. I am sitting here in Northern Virginia having the most glorious, glorious August day. It is incredible outside. Very low humidity. So, you know, I love that. Now, I have to tell you that I have two great guests. They have so much information, and they are so exciting, and you love them so much. And I have to tell you, though, the first guest I have on is that sometimes you just have to take the opportunity to invite people on the show when you see them in person. And when I'm at the trade show, you know, I'm seeing people all over the place. No, there was Amy Butler, and I had to go over and introduce myself and invite her on the show. And, of course, you know, where do I happen to see her? Be my luck, we meet in the ladies' room. So, poor Amy, here I am, you know, doing my fangirl thing and inviting her on the show, and she is so gracious. And so we're finally here. Hi, Amy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Pat?
I'm good. I'm glad to meet you, not in the ladies' room right now. So that's a good
place. But we can meet up again there again at Quilt Market. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we will.
I know. It's like you have to get hold of people when you can.
That's right. Exactly.
Now, I would love for you, Amy, to tell me and my listeners, you know, a little bit about how you have gotten into making things. Because, you know, you have a beautiful business, you have gorgeous style, people adore you. But what made it all start for you? Where did it start?
Well, gosh, you know, it's always been in my blood. And I get it honest because my grandmother was an artist, really creative, a huge crafter. And my mom followed in her footsteps. And then my sister and I followed in their footsteps. So as early as I can remember, I've been surrounded by my mother and my grandmother making things. And as soon as we could move our hands around craft projects and sewing and, you know, dried flower arrangements, all kinds of crazy stuff, they got us involved. So I've always had a passion for it. And then as I got a little bit older, you know, I really got focused on my artwork. And all my free time, I would just spend drawing and doodling and making clothes for my Barbies and, you know, God knows what, just always with my hands busy. And then I followed that up with art school. And I always knew, as long as I could remember, that I wanted to be some sort of an artist or a designer or a painter. So.
And when you went to art school, what did you study? Did you have a specific thing that you studied for, like, you know, pottery or something?
I did. I focused on... So my first year was sort of a core program that covered everything. And I went to Columbus College of Art and Design, and it's a great program because that first year they just sort of saturate you in a really, really tough, challenging curriculum that exposes you to all the major categories in design, from fine art to graphic design. And I fell right into textile design and fashion, and that's what I ended up majoring in.
Yeah, perfect, huh?
It seems to make sense.
Hey, you actually did what you went to college for. You know, how many people do that?
You know, I think we do. A lot of us, you know, it's not exactly on the path you think it's going to happen. But if you just allow things to fall into place and you really follow your passions, I think you do end up coming full circle and doing the things that you've studied and the things that are in your heart.
It's true. So many people, you know, come on and tell me this. It's really amazing. You know, I've been following you since you were doing style work for a country magazine that you were doing, I guess, the styling for the photos and then started making things for the magazine with vintage fabrics.
Yes.
So is that how you sort of segued over to find the world of quilters?
Yeah, actually it is. Actually, a few years prior to, David and I both were contributing editors to Country Living magazine. Mm-hmm. And that was a whole series of crazy events. Friends of friends were in the magazine, and then we met the magazine, and they shot our house, and then we started doing stories, and I've been sewing all these years. And I had been doing a lot of fine art exhibits and paintings and doing surface designs and all kinds of print work kind of on my own on a freelance basis, and all the time selling and making things for myself and friends and family for my fine art exhibits and things like that. And they found out about my fad recording.
Yeah.
The confession of a fad recorder. But, oh my gosh, it made me so happy. And they're like, oh goodness, you know, our readers love collecting, number one, and number two, they love vintage fabric, and can you please give us some ideas for some stories on some things to make? And that's how it started evolving, and one thing led to the next, and I actually licensed the Country Living brand and produced sewing patterns. This was 10 years ago, sold them through the magazine, and so that's how I got started on the pattern path.
I see. You know, it's so funny because I do remember all of that, and it's lovely to see how you have taken your art and really made sewers and quilters just come alive with using your fabrics, because people really do adore your fabrics.
Oh gosh, thank you. That is so nice. That is wonderful.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I know I just sent you an email today, and I got your little auto reply. I'm designing fabric, you know, and I check my emails a whole lot. And I'm like, okay, good, because I want you to tell us how you go about, you know, what is your process? Everybody's process is so unique. What is your process for designing a fabric line?
Well, it's funny. I come at it from a lot of different angles because – you know, once you're completing one collection, and then you go into the whole series of supporting collection with coming up with sewing patterns to make things with it, to the marketing photography, the fun promotional stuff that I do, you're all the while in the back of your mind, almost as soon as you finish the last collection, you're on to the next one already, creatively. Mm-hmm. So I'm always stashing inspiration and ideas all around me. And I'm like, oh, I can't use it this time. I'm going to use it next time. And then it's just this really cool kinetic flow of event, like a chain of events that happen to support those initial inspirations. Mm-hmm. And so I end up coming up with, you know, and you know, we're all changing our passions and our inspirations and things that are exciting. We get turned on about different things from travel, and all different kinds of things inspire me. And I start building the story, and then I start putting my prints together that fit that feeling in the story. And for me, having a story kind of helps me bring the designs to life in a really personal way that hopefully transcends just print design. You know, hopefully it has sort of a feeling about it that that gravitate to, the same feeling that I have when I'm making it.
So I have a question then. So if you have like a story, is it a story that you ever tell anybody, or is it something that just sort of is happening in your own sort of creative, you know, like in your head? Is it just
what you keep focused? I do. It's almost like a writer writes a book. You know, yeah. I do tell the stories when I share that in the marketing and the ideas behind the collection, because that helps everybody sort of sink their teeth into, oh wow, you know, it just adds a whole other level of meaning to the designs. And then of course above and beyond that, it goes way into someone's personal creativity and expression that they have with the fabric, and that's the most important thing. But it just makes it fun. It makes it sometimes more tangible. It's almost like writing a good story, you know, building a fantasy idea around the energy behind the collection.
And well, I'm like on your website right now. Let me tell everybody, in case they haven't visited lately, it's amybutlerdesign.com. And, you know, you have so much info. And I'm right now, I'm just like on your most current one, Soul Blossoms, what's out. And it's lovely because you have it in three different sections. And then within there, you show photos of that colorway, I guess, the fabric in with the models and everything.
Right.
So when you're doing that, is your story then part of what's being flowed through as to what products you make up in your fabric and how you showcase? Because your photography is amazing.
Oh, thank you. That's my husband, David. He's been doing my photography since from the time I got started. And
he's very good.
Thank you. In his own right, he could do that all on his own. He's like a Renaissance man. He does so many things. He's incredible. And we have a lot of fun with that. But yes, to answer your question, the story does feed through the projects I make, the way that the photo shoot, the concept around the photo shoot and everything. I try to have that thread that goes from the beginning to the end. And
right. Even how you dress everybody and how you lay out the projects. I mean, it's very well thought out. That must take a while.
Well, it does. It's a lot of behind the scenes work, you know. But it's like it's a labor of love because it's a lot of time and energy obviously invested to pull all these things together. And I don't do it by myself. I work with David. I have folks in the studio that help us. Sometimes I hire my friends freelance to help me style and organize the photo shoot. So it's sort of like a mini army of creative souls behind, you know, actually making things come to life that way. But yes, no, the from the concepts of the sewing, the projects, and often what happens is I sketch out ideas of what, you know, the photo shoot could feel like, based on the story and ideas and the prints. And then I think about, well, what kind of garments can I make? What kind of quilts can I make? What kind of bags and accessories can I make that, you know, fill in the feeling? And some of them make the cut, some of them don't, because, you know, you try things and sometimes they don't work out. But for the most part, it's really interesting because after I do the photo shoot and I share the inspiration on my website, and really the main impetus behind all of the inspiration and the photography is to get people excited and help them visualize what they can do with the material, just as a starting point. And after I have the photographs on the website for a while, I get a lot of great email feedback from people that stop by the website, and they say, oh my gosh, when is that garment going to be a pattern? When's that bag coming out? And I kind of get kind of a test marketing, I guess, where I don't really do it on purpose, but I really get excellent feedback, so I can kind of help me decide what the next pattern should be.
That's really good, because it's hard, isn't it, to know what will, you know, really speak to people. You know, you may like a jacket, but maybe nobody's into making jackets right now.
Right, exactly. You know, and I think a lot of that is you just have to follow your instincts, you know, what feels right. And authentically, that's going to reproduce in coming across as a concept, and that helps people relate to it. I think, you know, you get into trouble when you start second-guessing what you're doing, or you're trying to build something that you think is going to sell, you know, coming at it from that angle. I think if you stay coming from a completely creative perspective, in a tangible way that's pure, I think for the most part you're going to get a good response. And I've seen that through the history of the 10 years I've been making my sewing patterns. It's kind of been a theme that's really consistently worked out that way.
That is very cool, Amy. We're gonna take a little break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about some quilts that you've done for American Patchwork and Quilting.
Oh, excellent. Thanks.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Thank you.
take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
You're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and I am talking to the most amazing Amy Butler.
You are sweet, Miss Pat Sloan.
Yeah, well, I love all my guests, and I love you bunches and bunches. I told you I'm a fangirl. So,
well, back at you.
So I want to thank you first for doing projects for American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine. You have put in a project for our August 2011 issue called Wild Wild Web, and you also have another one called Pink Bliss that's on allpeoplequilt.com. Then I do, Amy, I have a question, because not really a question, but I want to talk about this. You are able to put the most amazing groups of fabrics together. I mean, really a lot of pattern in your fabric, and you put them all together and they work so well. And I think people would love to duplicate that.
Oh, you know, I think it's what's interesting to me is everybody's eye is so unique, you know, and I'm blown away constantly by the quilts that people make with my fabrics, because I look at what they do and I think, oh my gosh, I never saw that. Mm-hmm. And maybe I wouldn't have ever even put those things together, and it's so exciting. So I think, you know, for me, sometimes I feel like I almost have too myopic a view, because I'm working with my prints when I'm doing a lot of these projects, and I'm so close to them. Mm-hmm. And I always love the end result. You know, I think the rhythm and the designs and the way I put the prints together, the way that I do, is because I've spent so much time with them.
That makes sense. A lot.
Yeah, I'm looking at them a lot, and so there's like, I have this certain relationship with them. Mm-hmm. So I do love the end result. It's a lot of fun, and I do surprise myself sometimes with the things I put together, because sometimes I struggle.
And you also do some of the things where you'll, like in your photo shoots, you'll actually put the fabric on the wall for the photo shoot, and just bringing in lots of bold color. How do you have like a tip if somebody wants to try that? What ways might they go about doing that? Like, would you tell them to focus on a certain colorway maybe, or a certain set of fabrics to help them bring a lot of different patterns together?
Yeah, I definitely think so, and it helps as a foundation to start with a core collection, maybe, because I think you have you know, in the rhythm of your design, you sort of have an energy that repeats, that carries your eye through the whole quilt and makes you feel good about it. Mm-hmm. There's sort of a harmony that's created. Mm-hmm. And then with that, the juxtaposition of, you know, colors from the opposite side of the color wheel and some solids, and you kind of want like a pop of something in the design that's going to make it really seem like a piece of art, you know. And so that's just, I think, quilters have a gift with working with material that way.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have to wear it necessarily, although all of your fabric looks fabulous in clothing. So if people aren't used to wearing a lot of pattern, I would suggest they go out to your site and look at what you've done with it, you know, putting it into all the clothing so they can see how it's going to look on a person, because you've got them on models.
Oh, definitely. You know, and for me, I came into the quilt world from the other door. I came in through, you know, lifestyle and, you know, magazine styling and homewares and fashion. Mm-hmm. And I've been blessed to be able to interpret those prints into quilting and kind of bring it all together. And I think that's why, you know, for me personally, I love to show people how they can wear it, how they can make it into a bag, to different degrees of, you know, applying it to your person. You know, some people feel more confident. They want to wear a big floral dress. Some people just want a scarf or a little bag or a wallet. And a lot of people love to play with the prints in a really bold, graphic way, you know, for their quilts, which they can, you know, live with in a really comfortable, easy way.
That's a really great way of saying it, because, you know, everybody is different. You know, just because I might be able to wear a bold print on, you know, on a top, I know a friend that likes it on me, but she can't seem to wear it herself. She always wears solid. So
Yeah, definitely.
Now, I have a question that you, I saw a video, and I don't even know where it was, and maybe it's on your website somewhere, but there was a video that you did, you were interviewed, talking about your business beliefs. Could you just give us a little, it was an awesome video. If you could just give us a little bit about what you feel about your business, you work with your husband, and everything.
Well, you know, I've worked very closely with David for almost 20 years now. We've had our own studio, Art of the Midwest, and it sort of segued into Amy Butler as a side gig. But, you know, our relationship, first and foremost, is the most important thing in our lives and our families and our friends that we work with. Mm-hmm. And so our whole philosophy is, you know, we want everybody's quality of life to be really balanced and whole. And what we all do together during studio time, during a work week, is really important, and it needs to be enriching, and it needs to be expansive and growing and fun and evolving. But also, everybody needs to build their own lives. Okay, you got to have balance. In order to be a creative person, to be fulfilled, you got to nurture your relationships and your family. So we've always had there's no overtime in our studio. Mm-hmm. We believe it's really important that everybody, you know, and we want that for ourselves. You know, a lot of that is
right.
We do maybe put in more hours sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but we're always striving for that balance. And mm-hmm. we really, it's important to take care of each other. You know,
that's really wonderful.
That's really that's the top of our list, and that's kind of the grounding force. Always, no matter what comes up, you know, that's the priority, and that really helps.
Yeah, I've worked with my husband for 10 years since our businesses takes the two of us. So I totally get that. I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, you have to really set time aside not to be business all the time.
Oh, yeah, there's house rules, yeah. You guys probably have them too. Like no shoppy talkie after, you know, 6 p.m. And, you know, and we've just gotten in the habit of, you know, it's so relaxed for us. We work right in our home, and we also have a little studio in the village here where we live. But, you know, we're living on top of it 24 hours a day.
Right.
And you just, over time, you learn a lot. And it's really an accelerated way to build your relationship with your spouse. Because if you can work through all of the challenges that come with having a business and you mm-hmm. still have a beautiful, growing, loving relationship,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's actually been a real blessing because it's forced us to really focus on each other and taking care of each other. And it's been good.
That's wonderful.
I love it.
Yes, I'm going to make my husband listen to this interview then, you know.
Well, you guys are the same. I mean, if you've worked together 10 years, you've got a few things figured out.
We've made it. So tell me, you also design like a bunch of other things. Do you have like a favorite other product that you've designed besides your fabrics? You know, maybe like a current favorite thing you're working on?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I'm having a lot of fun with my wallpaper collection.
Mm.
And also I have a collection of finished bags. There's some luggage. There's some purses. There's some accessories. There's some project bags for Cal and Com. And I do a lot. I'm constantly working on that program. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
And you have even do you have yarn also? I can't remember.
I do. I'm it's running through my head like, okay, because, you know, when you're doing a few different things, you're like, okay, what's the thing I'm working on right now? And it's always the thing that comes up first. But I just finished another project book for Rowan Yarn. I'm a licensed designer with Rowan. Mm-hmm. And it's a new yarn called Sweet Harmony, and it's 100% merino wool, and it's a chunky chainette.
Ooh.
And it's fun, and I love to knit, so it's kind of neat when you get to figure out a way how to make the stuff you love to do and play with. Like, I love my fabric, I love my yarn. I've put the wallpaper all over the house. It's really cool.
So another thing that you told me about was that, you know, when you travel, you collect inspiration. I'm always curious because I'm like one of those weird people. When I travel, I never really feel like, I'm sure it's happening, but I don't feel like there's anything specific. Like, I don't go someplace and come back and go, oh my gosh, I'm going to design something off that tile. It's not how my brain works. But I'm curious, when you travel, what kind of things spark you, or is there something you keep a notebook while you travel? Is it your photography you're doing that get your ideas?
It's both, actually. I journal while I travel, and I also I have an iPhone. And I have another camera too, but I almost stopped traveling with that camera because the iPhone camera is so good.
They are good. Those are very good cameras.
And it's easy, and but it's a little bit of both. It's kind of what you've described too, Pat. There's stuff that's going into your subconscious. You know, you're just it's a feeling, it's an emotion. A lot of time, color is so. It's so under the radar, but you're taking it in, and it's not until later when you're down sitting at your drawing board and you're kind of looking at your travel photos or you're looking at snippets of things that you found along the way that you realize, oh my God, and you know, these ideas start coming out and the color palettes start coming out, or, you know, I really loved that painting series that I saw when I was, you know, in London at the British Museum of Art, you know, and it's just funny to connect the dots when you realize all the things you've been exposing yourself to are really feeding your design eye, and they're just tucked away waiting for the right moment to come out.
Yeah, I like the photos, too, to take photos and go reference them. I'm like a blog junkie, you know. I have to look at everybody's pictures.
Isn't it beautiful? It's just crazy. I mean, you could just stay on the internet all day long.
Oh my gosh,
careful.
I know. It's like I have to have time out. You know, no internet.
Exactly.
Turn it off for a while.
Yeah.
Are you also on Pinterest? Have you like succumbed to that, or?
Oh, I've you know, touched. You know, put my toe in the water a few times, and I'm nervous because I know I'm just going to lose it. So I have to be careful.
I know. I'm the same way. I was on there this morning, and it was like, oh, okay, get off. Time to get off. So let's see. I want to tell people your website again. It's amybutlerdesign.com, where you have all kinds of beautiful things going on. Besides your upcoming next fabric line that you're working on, we have about 30 seconds. What else are you doing?
Oh, gosh. Well, the current fabric line that is getting ready to release, I'm going to premiere it at the Fall Quilt Market in October in Houston. It's called Lark, and it's a quilting collection and home decor fabric collection. It's pretty fabulous. I'm going to have some sneak peeks of it this week on my Amy Butler Design Facebook page.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
And so I'll have some little snippets available to kind of get things circulated so I can start to show everybody. It's wonderful. I love it.
Thank you, Amy. You know, this has been wonderful to have you on the show, and I look forward
Thank
to seeing you,
you
next time at the trade show.
Well, me too. Let me buy you a cup of coffee instead of running into you in the bathroom.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, thanks, Pat.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Be back after this break. So stay tuned.
Favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
You're back listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I just get so excited talking with quilters and talking color and fabric. Today is major color and fabric day. So we were just talking to Amy Butler, and I want to be sure you know her website, amybutlerdesign.com, and she has things on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Just put Amy Butler in, and you can check out her projects. And so now we're going to continue on with major color discussion, because I am so excited to have Christine Barnes on. And I really do think Christine is a color expert, and quilt color expert, all kinds of color expert. But Christine's in our issue, our October 2011 issue. We have a segment from her book, Quilters Color Club. So the segment in the magazine is called Shed Some Light, and that's exactly what Christine is going to do with me. Aren't you, Christine? Hi.
Yes. Hi, Pat. How are you?
I am excellent. Excellent. You know, so we are going to talk color, color, color. But I first want to ask you, Christine.
Yes.
You know, what made you decide to work with fabric rather than paint? Or did you actually work with paint at some point?
Well, I took art classes whenever I could in high school and college, and my uncle is an artist, and he helped me with painting, but I've just always been so drawn to fabric from the very beginning, textiles, the texture, the surface, just the feel and the look. So I'm not really sure I can answer that question, but it's always been almost an obsession for me.
You know, I always tell people I paint with fabric. Do you feel like that?
Yes, I definitely feel that you're creating art with fabric. We're not like painters. We can't mix red paint and white paint unless you're dyeing or painting your own fabrics. But we can't mix red and white paint on a bolt and get pink. We are presented with these bolts of incredible fabric that are already a certain color, a certain pattern, a certain texture. So we're creating art with fabric textiles, but we can't create the color itself unless we have created it by dyeing or painting.
You know, but Christine, what we're going to talk here, you know, the second half, and I actually think you have managed to do that. When I look at your quilts, I really do think that you are a blender. You are taking shades and tones and going from one colorway sort of another, and, you know, you talk about the magic of fabric.
Yes, I talk about magic fabrics. That's a term I came up with when I was early in my teaching career, working on an exercise with a student, and we were just kind of stumped, and a woman in the class said, well, try this, and it was a beautiful fabric that was sort of dappled abstract print, cream, and gold, and we cut it up into small squares to put it into it was an Amish design, and it just glowed. Suddenly it had life, it had vitality, it was magical. So I just coined that term that day, and it's worked ever since. There's a certain quality about fabrics that makes them magical. They're dappled, they're mottled, they're shot with light. Gradated fabrics are that way. You get this sense that light is coming from beneath the surface or sometimes bouncing across the surface, and that's really an effect called luster. But light animates the fabric, and it creates a sense of vitality that you can't get with really opaque color.
Okay, now tell, you know, for people like me, when you say opaque, because my brain just doesn't always absorb all of the words, like the right word, you know, I need like a different definition.
Right. You need a visual example.
Yes. I need the layman's terms.
Think of a fabric, a beautiful marble fabric, for example. Lots of different colors swirled in and out. But the value, the sense of lightness or darkness, is pretty much uniform. You don't get a sense that there's anything below the surface or shining on top of the surface. It's a fairly dense color.
Okay.
Those don't create effects like luminosity and transparency, whereas batiks, hand dyes, many of the shot cottons, even some fairly traditional prints, if they have that sense of lightness or smoldering under the surface, that's what creates things like luminosity.
So also that might be like some fabrics, even when you turn them and tilt them, they sort of look a little different?
Yes. Yes, they don't have a uniform pattern necessarily. Mm-hmm. They're more non-representational or organic in the feeling. And they often have this sense of being shot with light or a little bit dappled.
Now, can you tell me what, and you know, everybody, what exactly is a shot cotton?
Well, that's the term that Westminster Fabric has for their solids, where the warp and the weft threads are different colors.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
almost an iridescence. And on the bolt, they might look sort of flat, but when you work with them and combine them with other fabrics, they really come to life. So there are so many solids right now at Quilt Market. I was just struck by how popular solids have become again. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really exciting because we have an amazing array of fabrics, well, like Amy Butler's fabrics in print. Mm-hmm. And for a while, it seemed there were fewer solid opportunities, but mm-hmm. now there are many, and it's really exciting.
So let's talk about the luminosity, you know, in
sure.
lay terms,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, explain to us how we're going to make that work. And when people read the article, you know, you've got it written in there, too, but tell me about that.
Well, it's the sensation of light or warmth beneath the surface. A flame or not necessarily a flame, but this sort of warmth that you get. And you can create it. I call it a luminosity recipe. It's sort of a basic way of looking
That's
at it.
That's what I need, the recipe.
Right, and it works. It always works. If you take mm-hmm. a medium value, mm-hmm. warm color, like yellow orange is orange, red orange, and an intense version of that color, so medium value, warm and intense, brilliant, and surround it with cooler, darker, duller color, blues, violets, even some grays and into blacks, darker values, and duller, you will get that sense of glow in the central part of a block or a quilt. So you're creating this sense of warmth and depth and a luminous quality just through the juxtaposition of the kinds of fabrics. I talk about that a lot in my book, and it's in the article.
I really like it. I mean, when you look at the quilts, they do, that's why I was saying it's almost like you've blended. You can see the shading go across your quilts.
That's a really, I'm thrilled that you picked that up because I think that's such an interesting effect. And with all of these effects, luminosity, transparency, I'm working on a transparency quilt right now. Mm-hmm. People will see the quilt and they will love it. They won't be able to describe it. They can't even mm-hmm. really understand what the quality that is mm-hmm. that they see in the quilt that they're attracted to. But Judy Matheson said, I did a quilt out of a class I took from her when I was my program chair for one of my guilds, and mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. hired all the people I loved. So
yeah. Well, of course. That's why you get to be program chair.
Right.
You have in all the teachers you want.
Right. It's fun. And I made a circle quilt in a class that she taught to our guild, and she said the effect that I was working on, which was luster in the border, she said, that's an automatic A. I thought that was such a great way to look at it because these kinds of effects just really grab people's attention mm-hmm. and intrigue them. Transparency, mm-hmm. especially, the sense that there's one color lying on top of another and you're seeing mm-hmm. through the colors to create a mixed color. It mm-hmm. really gets attention and people, again, they can't identify it, but they love it.
And what's also, I think, extraordinary is that you can see it in the print because, I mean, in person, the quilts just must, you know, like blow your socks off because they're so good in print, which is so flat, you know, you're not getting any of the depth of the quilt. And even on your website, you can still see, you know, on a monitor how the quilts behave and have that property that is a little
yes.
different than just the regular quilt.
I talk about that a lot to my students, and that's why I love doing my color newsletter and love having a website, because mm-hmm. as soon as you put lots of little dots of ink on paper, mm-hmm. it's more opaque. But with monitor, mm-hmm. a monitor, the light coming from behind, you really get that sense of vitality. So I'm so excited about ebooks and all the things we can do online and with programs like InDesign, because you really get really captures that vitality in a way that the printed page doesn't always. So it's a challenge to create something that looks great in print, but gosh, it looks even better on a monitor, and of course, even better in person. So
yeah, they always look better in person.
Yep, yep, with good lighting.
I know. I'm sure you hear it whenever I teach that people go, "Oh my gosh, it doesn't look anything like that in the book." And I know my poor publisher has, you know, kept my quilt on their wall in front of them to match it as best they can.
Right.
But it's just the fact that it's 3D when you're in person.
Right. It's the medium, definitely,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, now, talk. You have a whole section in your book. Just give them the title again, Quilters Color Club, about stripes. And I am like a stripe junkie. I mean, really, I would own every stripe there is. I just think people are petrified of stripes.
They are. It never fails. When I teach my color class, which is called Color Camp, someone mm-hmm. will come up to me before we start and say, "How do you use stripes? I can't figure out what to do with them." And they are magic fabrics all on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They create that sense of movement. Mm-hmm. In a block or in a quilt. So I will juxtapose them with other kinds of fabrics. And in decorating, you see this all the time. You'll see a large-scale floral. You'll see a small ditzy pattern, and you'll see a geometric stripe. Mm-hmm. So I think, for starters, the geometry of a stripe, even if it's a batik stripe, mm-hmm. lends a little bit of order to a design and sort of makes it a little bit crisper mm-hmm. as opposed to all organic floral designs. And in a block, if you have the stripes going outward, you get this wonderful sense of expansion. Mm-hmm. If you have four blocks meet with the stripes going in opposite directions, you get a fabulous little four-patch going on.
Mm-hmm.
So and it's the kind of thing you really have to use and practice with it. It's hard to describe, of course. It's like mm-hmm. seeing something on the radio.
Yeah.
Hard to describe, but once you start using them, and the most rewarding thing to me as a teacher is when people say after class, "I'm going to buy fabric differently now. I'm going to buy stripes." They'll say, "I feel like a different quilter after your class," just to open their eyes to this. And I love using stripes and borders. If in the article, I have two quilts that use Michael James stripes and the borders. And again, it's that sense of expansion. Mm-hmm. Sort of puts the focus on the center of the quilt, draws your eye inward, but also makes your senses go outward, which is very... sort of refreshing. It's hard to describe, but it's a very light and airy look that you can get with stripes.
And I love the one that you have in the magazine article where you have the second one. Well, whatever, whichever one it is. But you have stripes. I think you do it more than once. You have stripes actually within the blocks too. You're not afraid to use them in the border and within, and they touch. Oh my
gosh. Absolutely. Right. I'm not afraid to have them touch because they're generally different stripes. In that particular quilt, there's one block where the same stripe in the border is in the mm-hmm. quilt. But yes, I think that sense of order, and it just gives your eye a little quick focal point, and it's almost like you're getting a little visual adjustment. You know, you're seeing the stripes, and then your eye moves to something else that's very free-form and organic and non-representational. And that variety, you know, and there's a kind of a recipe for harmony in decorating, because I've written about decorating for years.
Let's take a little break first, Christine.
Oh, sure.
When we come back, we'll do that, because
okay,
that
great.
Sounds... We love recipes.
Okay.
Right. Everybody hold on. We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. use your favorite pattern, or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
We're back with Christine Barnes, author of Quilters Color Club. Well, that's her most recent book. So, Christine, you were going to give me a recipe for designing.
Right. Well, in design in general, there's a very classic design concept called the design equation, and that's you want variety. Variety plus unity equals harmony. So you want variations in the elements in your quilt, but you want some unifying factor that ties it all together, and that's what creates something that we see as being harmonious. Mm-hmm. There's another recipe that is even more specific to quilters and is so helpful, and I always mention it when I teach, mm-hmm. and I call it the color and value recipe. And you could think of it as making lots of different blocks in lots of different colors, mm-hmm. but in each block, say it's the same super simple block. Say it's a king's crown, which is one I love to teach.
Uh-huh.
And you have lots of different colors, but in each block, it's the same block design. Mm-hmm. And say the center fabric is medium in value, the surrounding triangles are lighter in value, the large triangles are dark. So from block to block, you have different colors, but you have a unity in the way you've placed the values. Mm-hmm. And that will create the most spectacular scrappy quilt because it looks scrappy and spontaneous, mm-hmm. but you've got this unifying element of using the same values in the same place. So
works darks like in the same place and lights mm-hmm. in the same place.
Right.
It doesn't matter what color they would be.
They can be any color. I like to encourage students to work sort of in the same area of intensity because that's another unifying factor. You want some intense accents in a really muted quilt. But if it's all muted, very, very muted, then it may look boring. So maintain a sort of a consistency and intensity with a little variation, and that unifies things too.
I don't think your quilts would ever look boring, Christine.
I know.
It wouldn't happen. So now I have a question. What is it actually like to go fabric shopping with you?
Well, when
really?
When I teach at retreats where we are near a fabric store, I've taught at empty schools a number of times in California. On the third day, or I guess it's the second day, we go on a little field trip to the fabric store because I go in and I make a beeline for Magic Fabrics. Mm-hmm. I look for the fabrics that are gradated, dappled, that have this sense of smoldering light or life. Mm-hmm. And then I love to look at the large-scale prints. Now, I don't use that many large-scale prints in my quilts, but I'll buy them to make an accessory. Or sometimes I'll buy them just because I love them mm-hmm. and they inspire me, but I never end up using them. So I figure.
Do you put them on the back by any chance? Do you put, something totally unexpected on the backs?
I do, because I want something on the back that I love just as much as if it were on the front. So, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, I always put favorite fabrics on the back. I think it's a great opportunity because, we're the ones looking at them the most, and mm-hmm. we ought to love the back as much as we love the front.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I do a lot of scrappy backs just because mm-hmm. I sometimes that's where I put the fabric. I don't know why I bought it. So it's
perfect.
Like...
Right.
Not necessarily what I want to look at, but it's like...
But you used it.
So have you ever bought, like, chicken fabric? It's like you don't look like a chicken fabric girl. I don't know.
I would for an apron or a pillow.
Okay.
And, as much as I love my current quilt is on transparency, I love working with those effects. Sometimes I just want to make a sweet cottage floral quilt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
An old-fashioned quilt, a very traditional choice of fabrics. I love everything in quilting. There's nothing that I don't really like. So, yes, I do buy some novelty prints and some kind of quirky fabrics, and sometimes I make them into something to wear.
There you go. Now, you have a little thing about mock blocks, mocking up a block. Tell me about that. I do,
and I encourage my students to do that because I've seen over the years in class, they will start out with fabrics that look just great sitting together, you know, as four fat quarters, and you just cannot predict what they're going to do when you cut them up and put them side by side. So mock blocks are a quick and easy way to audition your fabrics. I just do them. I make a lot of 9-inch blocks and photocopy, you know, draw the outline, the design, and photocopy them and cut and paste fabric. And I call it spending fabric, and I say it's a good investment. You know, people say, I don't want to waste any fabric cutting it up and gluing it. I'm saying, no, you're investing the fabric in something. And maybe you'll make 3 or 4, and you'll see what direction you're going in. You see, well, this doesn't work, but this works, and you really get a sense of how it's going to turn out. And we've all had that sort of tragic experience of making a quilt and finishing it and looking at it and saying, I wish I'd used a different red. And if you make mock blocks, it really cuts down on the frustration, and in the end, it saves you time. And they're fun to do because they're quick and easy. You're just cutting and pasting.
So, you know, if people need a little, like, push to do that, you know, like in class, do you have somebody sort of resisting that you know, you're pretty sure they need to do that? You know, it's good. They're going to love it, but they don't know they're going to love it. You know, do you just sort of, you know, mock it up without cutting the fabric first to give them a sense of what's going to happen?
You could definitely do that. We end up folding. I just taught a class last Saturday in Quincy, California, way up in the mountains. We end up folding pieces into smaller pieces and laying them on top of each other. And, yeah, that's another way to audition, but it still is not the same as having the fabric butting up against the next fabric and seeing how the four interact, say they're four fabrics.
Especially to the correct size. That's what I have a lot with classes that I teach, is that I do some mock-ups that are big pieces, but I tell them, you know, you're still going to look different once you finally cut them to size.
Absolutely, and I like to tell my students, the smaller the size, the softer the impact. The impact of the color is softened, the impact of the design is softened, so that something that looks really bright on the bolt, when you cut it up into, say, a 2-inch square or even smaller, it doesn't look as bold or as bright because it's the proportion and the size of the field of color that you're looking at that has a lot to do with its impact. So, yep, I'm all for trying things out and auditioning, and I have a huge design wall where I've always got lots of things.
Very good. There. Design walls are essential.
They absolutely are. You just have to stand back and look. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, tell me about your newsletter, because you sent that to me the other day, and it is fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
You do a great newsletter. It's got so much info in it. Tell everybody what types of things.
I started it primarily to have my schedule out there every month, but I also wanted to include in each issue a color feature, a very, very short article with some concepts, some real content, so that people could learn and think about colors in different ways and just, you know, kind of something that was really a benefit. But I also have little snippets of here, you know, something I made that I just loved. And I love laying it out because I get to choose all those colors and, you know, the typefaces and the background screens and sizing the photos. It is so much fun. So I really enjoy doing it. It's a challenge. I've only been doing it since April. I've gained lots of subscribers. Of course, it's just a free monthly newsletter through Constant Contact. So, but it's been a lot of fun, and people can sign up for it through my website. It's on my homepage.
Right, and that's Christine Barnes together.com. www.christinebarnes.com.
So, right.
Yeah, that's really, really nice. I liked it. I'm a subscriber now.
Oh, good. Also through my Facebook page, my fan page, which is facebook.com/Christine Barnes Design, singular, so that they can sign up there too. So, yeah,
yay.
Lots of things.
Yeah, I was doing my Facebook notice this morning, and I have to go be sure that I have you in there correctly. Sometimes it doesn't let me do the @ sign to notify, and so I couldn't get yours to come up today, so I have to check that out.
All right. Oh, good.
Because I was trying to put a notice over there to people to come and listen.
Right.
So, Christine, do you have a style quilt that you are really drawn to that maybe you haven't explored that type of quilting yet, or quilt style, or it's sort of on your list, or you're sort of just musing about it? You know, is there...
Well, the quilt I'm most excited about is always the one I'm doing next, because it's so much fun to start anew. I'm very drawn to graphic, geometric kinds of patterns. I love traditional patterns used in a different way. Mm-hmm. I have a new quilt on black opals where it's based on churn dash, but I shifted the unit. It's basically a nine-patch subdivided, shifted the unit over and up one, so the secondary pattern becomes primary. I love to do that. But in terms of things I haven't yet done, I'm really interested in doing more with curved piecing. It's just so exciting, and circles and gentle curves. So that's definitely on my list of things to do. And the list is long.
Yeah, I know, I know. All of we're not a quilter if we don't have a long list.
That's right. We've got lots of ideas.
Do you ever applique? I know you have some circles, but other than circles, do you do much applique?
I don't do traditional applique, but I always want to, because I love handwork, and I think I'll get around to doing more of that. Anything where I can just sit with a needle and thread in my hand is wonderful. The circle quilt I'm working on now is machine applique, so that's another great way to get those shapes on without as much time.
Right, still applique in my book. Doesn't matter how you put it on there.
And fused, I've done a few quilts that are fused that are very non-representational, completely abstracted. So, and that's a whole different medium, as you know, because you're not needle turning, but you're really working so much with the design and the color.
Yeah, and people can go to your website and see some of your projects in your gallery.
Right.
Right, and you also have your classes on your lectures and your workshops. What's your most favorite class to teach?
Color Camp is my favorite class. It's the basic color class, and it's the one that seems, I can just see the light bulb go on for every student sometime during the day. So it's very rewarding, because we put every block that we make, every exercise we put up and critique, because I think it's so important for students to see not only the good ones, the ones that succeed that we love, but ones that aren't as successful, and see why. So that's, I get a little loopy at the end, because I'm working everybody's color exercise all day long.
Oh, yeah.
20
yeah, you
different
get
ones.
You have to sort of break stop for one person's color to go to the next one, don't you?
Down to the next one. But I'm really excited about a new retreat I'm doing in June at Lake Tahoe. And it's on magic fabric, special effects, 3 days, the 17th through the 20th, I think. I'll have more information on that. But it's just devoted to transparency, luminosity, luster, and opalescence. So...
Well,
that's
Christine,
exciting.
You have been a massive amount of information today.
Thank you, Pat. It's so fun to be on the show with you.
Well, thank you so much. We've been talking to Christine Barnes. And I want everybody to go out to allpeoplequilt.com, where you can find videos. We have a blog from our editors. You can also visit our Facebook page. Look for American Patchwork and Quilting. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll see you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.